This is Pat Tomlinson. I'm talking with Trevin Sears, Ag Spectrum District Sales Manager in Ohio. Trevin lives in the Dayton area with his wife and family. He joined Ag Spectrum and assumed his current responsibilities in early 2022. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, Trevin. How are you today, and how do things look in Ohio?
Thanks, Pat, for having me. Yeah, things are going well. The crop's drying up fast, and, you know, with the lack of rain this last month, you know, we'll probably be seeing some guys here in the fields within the next couple of weeks. We're seeing some late season tar spot in the northern part of the state and into Michigan, mostly in the fields that, you know, really didn't receive any kind of fungicide, or, you know, on the edges of the fields where the fungicide was not adequately applied. I'm excited for harvest, but I appreciate you having me on today, Pat.
Well, I'm glad things are looking good out there, and you're eager to get started with harvest. What I wanted to talk with you about today is the topic of phosphorus in the maximum farming system. I talked with Eric Larson recently about potassium, and I wanted to continue to review some of the major nutrient topics that are involved in explaining the MFS to growers, in the hopes that it might help to refresh our dealers on the basics, and maybe more importantly, drilling in on the key points that we want a grower to understand about our system and why it's constructed like it is. If we don't consciously think about it, I think the focus of a grower discussion can quickly focus in on what we recommend and how we can accomplish that, things like planter attachments and tendering setups. But it's important to make sure that he understands both why we recommend it and why it can maximize his yields. Now, hopefully that can motivate a grower to really want to use our approach. You know, one thing we know is that for any system to work, but especially one that requires the higher levels of management and attention to detail like the maximum farming system, whoever's implementing it has got to understand it and really want to make it work. So if that makes sense to you, Trevin, we'll get started.
Sure.
Let's start out with this. What are the two or three key things a corn grower should know about phosphorus in a soil and its role in corn production?
I'll give you three facts, Pat, that I think are important for a farmer to understand when we think about efficiently managing phosphorus in corn production. Number one, there's an awful lot of phosphorus in the agricultural soils currently, technically enough for many generations of high-yielding farming. But the reality is a lot of this is unavailable to the plant. The relatively small portion of the total phosphorus that's plant available is used up by the crop many times during the season. Natural soil and the microbial processes should continue to replenish the soil P, which is the plant available portion throughout the season. Number two, the corn plant uses phosphorus throughout its life cycle, and although it uses most of it during the grand growth stage, or rapid growth, between about V7 and, I don't know, pollination, when it's rapidly growing and building the plant structure. However, that's not the time when uptake of P tends to be limited, or when we see phosphorus deficiencies in plants. Research has shown that even if it's limited during its time frame, there is no correlation with yield. There is really only one specific time when phosphorus deficiency is likely to be expressed. And when research has shown that limiting the amount of phosphorus the plant can uptake will directly limit yield potential. That time is the beginning of the corn plant's life from planting through V3. Although it requires a very small portion of its total use then, that is a time when cool soils and very limited microbial activity can limit what can be accessed, and those limitations can lower yield. The third thing is phosphorus is considered immobile in the soils. It doesn't move with water. It doesn't leach from the soil like N or other nutrients do. It doesn't naturally even out from one spot to another a few feet away. When it moves, it usually is usually through erosion, because it doesn't move in the soil and is absorbed into the plant by diffusion, which is moving from a high concentration area into the plant roots, which has a lower concentration area. The plant needs to be in an area of higher concentration of plant available phosphorus to absorb it effectively.
Well, given those three points, let's move to how we evaluate phosphorus from a soil test. What are the numbers we look at on a soil test, usually P1 and P2 in the case of our soil tests from Midwest Labs? What do they tell us about phosphorus in the soil?
Yeah, we use Midwest Labs for our soil testing services. One reason we do use them is for their Bray extraction, which we prefer for various reasons. One of the reasons is that it gives both a P1 test result and a P2 test result. To understand these, you should understand a little about how phosphorus is held in the soil. There are thousands of pounds of phosphorus in the plow layer and tens of thousands in the root zone of the vast majority of our soils. It's held in what we call three different pools in the soil. P1 represents small fractions of total P in that's currently plant available phosphorus in the soil. It can be considered solution phosphorus. P2 represents the P1 phosphorus plus that which could become plant available during the season. It could include soil organic matter and microbial phosphorus. It's called the labile phosphorus. Fixed or non-labile phosphorus is predominantly mineral phosphorus and humus. It is unavailable in the crop and is most of it will only be available over a very long time.
So given that, how would you explain to most growers the way in which the maximum farming system accounts for the crop's need for phosphorus?
Yeah, we soil test to understand the present state of phosphorus and other nutrients in the specific field, and those results are an integral part of the recommendations we make. We look at P1 and P2 independently because there are optimum ranges for each, and we may recommend a broadcast application of DAP or MAP to address the soil below the optimum ranges when appropriate. Likewise, we may adjust recommendations for in-season applications of micronutrients. If these P1 or P2 numbers are higher than optimum, that's because high levels of phosphorus can sometimes tie up essential micronutrients and make them unavailable to the crop when needed. In addition, we look at the relationship of the P1 and the P2 test results. If the P1 is low but the P2 is high, we want to consider why the normal soil processes that convert soil phosphorus to a solution aren't working as expected. Normally, things like drainage issues or other impediments to a healthy soil may be a cause by reducing beneficial microbial activity. Often it could be that addressing those issues might be a more productive use of a grower's dollar than spreading more fertilizer. We incorporate an understanding of the fact that a corn crop is most likely to experience a phosphorus deficiency that can lower yield potential at V3, primarily because cool soils can inhibit the microbial activity that's needed for plant uptake of soil phosphorus. In addition, the reach of the seedling's roots are very limited during that early stage of growth. Because of these factors, we want to place the seed directly into a spot where there's a high concentration of plant available phosphorus. We want it to begin absorbing P right from the time it hits the dirt. That's how we make sure the plant is on track for maximum kernel count potential by V3 when the process of determining kernel count begins. These factors are what led us to the recommendation for in-furrow planter application of a plant-available phosphorus fertilizer that isn't dependent on high levels of microbial activity to get into the plant. Clean Start is the product that AgSpectrum has designed and tested to fulfill exactly that role.
What about seed safety considerations when we apply directly in the furrow?
Clean Start has been designed for in-furrow use and is completely safe for corn. AgSpectrum's testing, as well as successful use of the product in the marketplace for many years, should assure the grower of that.
Anything else that it's important for associates to know when they talk with growers about Clean Start specifically that makes it a unique product?
One of the things that has been known for quite a while, but has only recently been talked about in relation to conventional approaches to the phosphorus fertilization, is the fact that most phosphorus gets tied up with other compounds very soon after getting applied. Because calcium is the most plentiful nutrient in the soil, and because it has a strong positive charge, while phosphorus is an anion with a negative charge, they tend to find each other pretty quickly after application and bind into calcium phosphate or rock phosphate, which ironically is how it likely started before it was mined and separated into a fertilizer product. This happens when the P in the dry fertilizer and also with the common liquid mixes of 10-34-0. When Clean Start, we've used a proprietary formulation to impede that process. It will still happen eventually, but when it's applied at planting, slowing that natural process down can give the seedlings the time they need to absorb the phosphorus when they need it before V3.
So if I'm hearing you right, would it be accurate to say a couple of key bullet points in our message could be you should soil test regularly and understand the phosphorus numbers you get, but most growers probably need to worry less about the P in their soil and more about promoting the soil environment and processes that will replenish the plant available solution P throughout the growing season, and also that each corn plant needs access to the plant available P required by V3 to maximize kernel set. That can only be assured of happening with an in-furrow application of a product like Clean Start that supplies a form of P nutrition ready for plant uptake and not immediately subject to the chemical tie-up with calcium. A 10-34-0 type generic product doesn't meet either of these requirements.
That is correct. I couldn't have said it better myself, Pat.
Anything else that you'd like to cover or mention before we close, Trevin?
No, I don't have anything else. I just want to say thanks, Pat, for having me on, and go Bucks, and for my Michigan partners, and go Spartans.
Okay, you got to remember everybody. Well, listen, thanks again for taking the time to talk with me, Trevin. You've covered a lot of good information, and I do think it will be helpful to our associates to review this type of information about phosphorus in the MFS. Even though this likely isn't anything they don't already know, it may be beneficial just to hear different ways that these points can be expressed and communicated before associates make sure they understand what's covered and decide how they feel comfortable putting it into their own words when they meet with their clients and prospective clients. Listen, have a great day and a safe harvest, Trevin.
Thank you, Pat.